Welcome to another edition of the Kid Zach Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back with another episode, y'all. I hope y'all having a great day, a very blessed day today, because we are. You know, I got none other than my normal co-host with me here.
I'm back. Y'all already know who I am, so.
But maybe they want to hear your name again. Maybe they want to hear your name
again. What did you say it was? Because I don't want to say DJ and be like.
You want to say your full name?
No.
Okay, well, DJ. What is again for another episode, ladies and gentlemen. I hope y'all having a great week so far, man. I know I am, you know, being blessed, as I always tell you all and whatnot. But, man, we got a lot to talk about today. A lot has took place. Also, Jazz is in the room as well. Jazz, you want to?
Hello.
Jazz, so, yeah, she's in here as well. You know, so you guys, she may say something, a thing or two. In here as well, but you know, I got a lot of fun stuff to talk about today, and you know, not much as a jam-packed show as we normally have. You know, this may not be as long as we normally do, but trust me, these are very meaningful topics. These are some we'll just hit on and move on to the next. Some we'll spend a while on, but you know, as you know, as we go and do that, we always, DJ normally dictates how long we stay on a particular subject, because DJ, you know, he really likes to get deep in detail with it. Without further ado, though, let's dive right into it. Talk about some of our topics. Let's talk about Kevin Durant's historic night he had last night in Game 5 against the Milwaukee Bucks, putting up 49 points, 17 rebounds, and 10 assists to get the dub as well in Brooklyn. I'm going to discuss that. Moving on, Kawhi Leonard now has a torn ACL and is out for the remainder of the series against the Utah Jazz. Game 6 is tonight. As you all know, I normally post the next day, so right now it's Wednesday. We will post this on Thursday, and we'll discuss how that's going to affect the series going forward. Also, next up, I guess, favorite player, Ice Trey himself, Trey Young and his Hawks, they're tied 2-2 with the 76ers and are headed back to Philadelphia, but things are a little different this time around. Embiid is starting to reaggravate the injury again that he once had. Also, he went 0-12 in the second half. We'll dissect that series as well. And also, speaking of DJ, once again, and his favorite player, Chris Paul is out indefinitely being in virus protocol right now as we speak. We don't know how long he'll be out. I heard he's vaccinated, so hopefully not too long, but we'll see what takes place. But how would this affect the Phoenix Suns championship run? And oh, yeah, Le'Veon Bell, you guys remember him? He used to play Steelers running back, all that, you know, Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger, all those guys. Yeah, him. You know, he played for the Chiefs last year, but the thing about it was he doesn't play for them anymore. And he made the statement that he would never play for the Chiefs again. You know, he retired before he goes back to the Kansas City Chiefs. So it's Le'Veon Bell talking his way out the league. All this and more coming up. And ending it around, Derek Carr, the Las Vegas Raiders quarterback, made a bold statement saying that he would probably quit football if he had to play anywhere else other than Las Vegas. We better get ready to quit. Yeah. I'm saying, we'll talk about that. And we'll try to end it off with a little bit of the YouTubers and TikTokers who put on a pretty great showing here this past weekend. But like I always say, without further ado, let's dive into it. DJ, you ready?
Seems like a pretty big jam-packed show.
It does. But, you know, it's some topics I think we're just going to hit. Like these last couple with Le'Veon and Carr, I think we're just going to kind of hit them and go with like the meat, as I like to say, of the show is at the top with Chris Paul and the Hawks and Kawhi and KD and things like that. But hey, if it goes longer, hey, more than him, more great stuff right here. Let's get it. So we're going to get into what we normally do, and you're going to lose the debate like you normally do. So hey, let's dive right into it. And let's talk about Kevin Durant's historic night last night, Game 5. Like I said, 49 points, 4 from 9 from the three-pointer, 17 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks, and a win to top all that off. Reactions. Was this Kevin Durant's most impressive outing in his entire career?
Going off of everything he's done, back from OKC, back from Golden State, I'm going to say, yeah, it's most impressive. Almost 50 points. What was it? 17 rebounds? Did I say that right? I know it was double digits.
You said 20. You said who again?
Kevin Durant.
Yeah, 17 rebounds, yeah.
17 rebounds, yeah. And then I think he had like, was it 13 assists? Something like that?
10
assists. Okay. Oh, my God. I gave him 3 more. But, you know what I'm saying? It was spectacular. 100% spectacular, you know? Mm-hmm. I give him all the credit for, you know, I don't take nothing away from him. But at the same time, you know, you have to top this off with a win.
Right.
You know, you have to come out on top in the series. You know, even if he somehow, you know, doesn't get to the final, they don't win the championship, you have to come out on top in this series. If not, it's gonna feather away. You know what I'm saying? You know, like a fart. You know, it's just gonna,
oh my god,
you know, wither away. You know, so I mean, you know, that performance, you can't put up 50 points and then lose the series. Mm-hmm. You just can't do it. So right. Then plus you got James Harden coming back, but at the same time, James Harden isn't. He's not 100%. You probably have probably 70%, maybe 75%
James Harden. He was like 1 for 10 last
year. Yeah, he was bad. He was bad. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, but he's still good enough to where he's still going to draw some attention. So mm-hmm. It's not like you can just, okay, we don't have to worry about James Harden. Yeah, you still do. Just, you know what I'm saying? Not the James Harden, you know what I'm saying, we're accustomed to seeing, you know. I mean, you're going to leave him open. He still can knock it down. You know what I'm saying? 10 out of 10 shots. He gonna hit down at least 4 or 5, at least half of them, you know, nothing else. So, but yeah, his performance was nothing short of spectacular.
Yeah, definitely. But let me set the scene for you guys for a second. The reason we're highlighting this performance, because I know what you guys think, oh, it's Durant, that's what he does anyway. Well, Kyrie Irving went out, was a game 4 with an ankle injury right there, and the Bucks went on to win. Also, mind you, like DJ just said, Harden's been out this entire series other than the first, 40 seconds, with a hamstring injury. So it was like, oh, it's on Durant now to, you know, win this game in Brooklyn on his own. Can he do it? Can he be LeBron-esque to carry?
Pretty much.
And this is something he's never had to do before. And I, for one, didn't know if he had to. I thought he was just a walking bucket, right? And I didn't think he could, you know, to play and step into this role and carry, you got to distribute. You got to get boards. You know, we got to play like, he played like 47 minutes.
Yeah.
So he did it. He definitely proved me wrong on that end of the spectrum. He was amazing. He was all that and then some. He was the point guard, the shooting guard, the small forward, stealing boards like he was a center. He was amazing in last night's win right here. Look at the field goal percentage. 23 shots. This is a stat. 23 shots, 49 points. Let that sink in. 23 shots, you got 49 points off of that.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. You know, and you look for him, he's always looking to get his teammates open and do things like that. And that's stuff, like I said, we used to see LeBron do, but not Durant. We've never had to see him do this, ever, right? Because he's always, if you think about it, in a way, he's always had an MVP on his team.
Yeah.
Remember Westbrook, Harden back in OKC? Curry. You know, Curry with the Golden State.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And now with Brooklyn and whatnot, and he pulled it off. And this was absolutely amazing. Now, like you said, the question is, can he win this series?
Yeah.
I don't know. Because you know what I feel?
What?
Correction, actually. He played 48 minutes last night.
Mm-hmm.
Which would have meant, guys, he played the entire game last night.
Pretty much.
Kevin Durant burned 9,000 calories. He needs all of them back.
He needs to burn.
That's what I'm saying. My thing is this. I don't know if that impressive thing took everything out of him, that impressive performance.
Yeah.
See, because that's his first time doing it like that in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And the series is not over.
No, it's not.
And that's the scary part right now. I don't think he's going to put up another 49, 17, and 10 games.
Not to mention Giannis. I don't know if he's going to take the challenge or not. Wants to guard him the next game. So
exactly. So it's going to be tougher. And what they're going to say, if Milwaukee's smart, which they've been playing dumb basketball this entire season, let's call it what it is, right? They're going to say, well, you know what? We're going to take away Durant, and the rest of you can beat us. And like you said, Harden is not 100%, as we can see. There's no Kyrie. So who else is going to beat them at this point?
Yeah. And both of them have injuries that you can't really give a timetable on when you can come back and you'll be fully healed. Both of those are the type of injuries where only way you're going to know if you're healed from them, you have to just play. Right. That's the only way you're going to know if your hamstring is healed. That's the only way you're going to know if your sprained ankle is healed. They're nagging injuries. You know? You can be okay for 1 or 2 games and then come back and then rehurt some
like reaggravated
again. Yeah, like AD. So
yeah, exactly. You know, like AD. So and that's my thing. I don't know if Durant just used his last breath right here in this game, because I'm thinking that's what didn't happen. He used it way too soon. Right? It reminds me of I was getting ready to head to Martin this year, actually. It was the Warriors, of course, and the Cavaliers.
Yeah.
And it was that game J.R. Smith got the rebound and didn't put the shot up.
Yeah.
And they win the OT. That was the Cavaliers. That was LeBron's last gasp right there. Remember, it got beat 4-0.
Yeah.
And I think this is probably the last guy. I know a lot of people saying, hey, you know, Dwayne did of three, you know, you know what I'm saying? But this is what's going to be. Harden isn't going to get any healthier on the field. Durant's not going to drop another 49-point game, 17 rebounds and 10 assists. That's not going to happen again. So once again, Milwaukee, I think, has the upper hand. They have to capitalize. It's on Giannis. Take the challenge.
Well, here's the thing. I think, you know, kind of switching to the Bucks a little bit.
Yeah.
It for me right now, it's their series to lose. Simply yeah. because, but I honestly feel like they don't play Giannis the way he's supposed to be played. I know he's a small forward.
So how should he
be played? Yeah. In my opinion, he's more so a stretch four or a five. You know, just, I guess, depending on the matchup for that night. You know what I'm saying? Well, if you're going to have Lopez on the floor, he's a stretch four. You know what I'm saying? And because, you know, I know they like to give him the ball, let him, you know, beat the ball into the court and then, you know, drive and then get double kicking. But so his game is in the paint. That's where he thrives and shines, rebounding, scoring, everything.
Yeah.
So if I'm the coach, I'm having Holiday at the one. I'm having Middleton at the two, having Tuck at the three, even though Tuck ain't that tall. Tuck got the strength to hold small fours and some power fours. And then I'm going to put Giannis at the four, and I'm going to put Lopez at the five, and I'm going to run with them. And the team's going to run through Holiday and Giannis. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get the pick and roll game going all day long. Mm-hmm. The lobs, dunks, there's him. Then on occasions, you want to throw the ball into the post where he at, let him do his work. Yeah, if you get double, kick it out. You know, but that's where he does his damage. That's where he lives at. So I don't even know why people give him the ball at the top of the key so he can, you know, step over people trying to get into the paint. Just get on down. I'm going to give you the ball. Just lay it up, dunk it, whichever. You know, he's athletic anyway. He ain't got that many moves to begin with. So he's just an athletic dude.
I mean, definitely. I totally agree on that. Now that you bring it, I don't really think you should be bringing the ball because I don't think it benefits the offense.
It don't.
Unless it's a fast break situation. Nobody can stop him. Yeah, but what'd you get, you know, Drew Holiday for? You got him to bring the ball up, you know?
Because he's not a threat to do a step back on anybody. No, he's not a threat to cross anybody over.
At all. And that needs to be addressed. Also, impressive performance once again by Durant. Giannis, step up, man. Like DJ just said, I get you down 3-2. It's your series to lose right now, right? You seen what you're going to get from Durant. You saw it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And now you got wave your first off, you're healthier. The team is healthier. You just have to play smarter. Yeah. That's the issue. Play smarter is what you guys have got to do in this situation. So we'll see how that pans out and whatnot. Moving on, though, to huge news that happened earlier today. Kawhi Leonard, I think it was Monday, they played the Utah Jazz in L.A., and he bumped his knee, went out for the remainder of the game. Didn't think it was anything serious. It went from knee soreness to now people are saying a torn ACL. My. Now, the Clippers just tied the series up 2-2 with the Utah Jazz. They headed back to Utah, actually, tonight. Mm-hmm. As I speak here, tonight for Game 5 in Utah with no Kawhi. He's ruled out right now. How does this affect the series? And who's going to win it now? If there's no Kawhi, the rest of the series.
Again, I think it's Utah's series to lose. You know, at this point, I'm going to be honest. At first, it looked like it was trending that the Clippers was going to take this thing, because for whatever reason, the only way they can start playing is if they get down 0-2. I don't know why they do it like that, but I'm gonna be honest. If they had, say, Kawhi didn't do that, and you know, they went on to the conference finals to face Phoenix, mm-hmm. I'm gonna be honest, they get down 2-0 to Phoenix. Phoenix not letting them come back like that. That's not gonna happen. Devin Booker, the assassin, and of course, my boy Chris Paul, but that's another subject. But, but yeah, I think it's Utah's series to lose, you know, and then I think Mike Conley getting healthier, he might come back. That's just going to add to everything they already do. You know, playoff P, you know, you can't count on him. You know, he'll do what he do. But, I mean, he was a leader in in Indiana. Mm-hmm. You know, look how that turned out. You know, right. Not so great. He had a couple runs, but that's it. That's all you have is a couple runs. He's not the type of player. He's a two. You know, and sometimes a three, depending on the, you know,
on the night.
On the game.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Utah, I think the next game is it was in LA, ain't it?
It's tonight.
Yeah, I'm talking about it's in
the next California. One's LA, Friday.
Because they got a higher seed than the Clippers. Mm. So, I expect Utah to go ahead and win tonight, you know, convincingly, and then do the same thing with game seven. You know, without Kawhi, know what I'm saying?
So you got going to a game seven? You got Utah winning two straight and closing out the series?
I think. Well, wait a minute. I thought the Clippers were up.
No, it's tied 2-2.
Oh, yeah. So I'm giving the Clippers another win.
Dang, trying to show y'all some other Clippers.
I think the Clippers will be good enough to pull out one more win and like really just edge it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm thinking. You know what I'm saying? But the only way they do it is if you know play. I ain't gonna call him playoff P. Paul George has to have at least one game where he puts up at least, I'm gonna say 32 to 35, right?
Right.
And then the supporting cast gets hot. I think that's how they edge out a win. You know what I'm saying? But then after that, I think that, you know, Utah will come in and do take care of business, you know. So
definitely. And okay, so I got Utah winning the series. I had them winning anyway. And like, but it didn't look like he was going towards, you know, the Clippers because Kawhi, the numbers he was putting up was ridiculous, like 30 and 40. Like, he was dominating, yeah, right, in these last two games. And you look at Paul George's numbers here in the last three games, excuse me, game two, they lost that member. He put up 27 points, went 8 for 18, 2 from 6 from 3-point. Game three, he put up 31. And then game four, he put up 31. So he's been playing well. But here's the problem, like we just said, pressure.
Yeah.
He's not going to play well under pressure. Yeah. He wasn't playing that well all the time with Kawhi. He's definitely not going to play well by himself. Now they're looking like, yo, you're the man. You know, no, he couldn't even beat the two. He couldn't even be the man behind the man. He couldn't even be that.
Yeah.
But unless Paul George just comes out and says, you know what? This is what I need. I haven't had this in a long time. And if you look at it, he hasn't. And the last time he was the man, they were like competing with the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. And from then on, he went to OKC trying to chase rings. He wasn't the man with Russ and Melo, right? Yeah. And then he ended up, was it Melo left, whatever, him and Russ. And then he came over here to LA. He still was the man. So maybe this, now I think about it, this may be what he need to give him that kick. Yo, go back to being a man. You had success not winning championships, but not knowing that he has to play second fiddle to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
He can finally say, I can go back to playing free. It's going to all run through me and doing it this way.
Yeah, I give him that much respect to where he can pull out of, you know, a game where he scores anywhere from, you know, I'm going to say 34 points to 40, you know, he edged out a win. I feel like he's talented enough for that, you know. So I do give him that much respect, you know what I'm saying? But as far as winning the series, no, I don't see him
helping win the series. No, so. I mean, they're definitely not going to win this game 5 tonight. I should have bet. They're definitely not going to win that because, man, let me tell you, Utah V-Vent Arena, I won't get wrong. My God, I've never seen a place that crazy. When it comes to that team, home team playing, it's ridiculous. I ain't even been in there. I'm just talking about the injury from the TV, right? Just sitting back from my end of it. So they're not getting that. But I do think he still needs to show up tonight and show up for game six. Clearly, that's the one he needs to steal.
Yeah.
And game seven.
At home.
You know, at home.
Fans will be on your side.
Right, right. You know, and I know LA's got limited seating, but you're still at home. Things are different. You sleep in your own bed. Yeah. Home cooking. You know, things like that.
Family,
you feel me? Kiss the wife bye before you go to the game. You know, things like that. In game seven, just let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah.
So, Paul George, I just want you to show up tonight and play hard. Game six, you got to go all out for it. Because they're not going to win tonight. It's not going to happen. But game six, he's got to go all out. That's just what has got to happen for to at least get to game seven. I still got the Jazz winning. But I will respect him that much more if he comes and balls out on Friday and gives his team a chance. I think the pandemic thing, for me, will kind of die down. Because if he can at least get him to a game set, honestly.
Yeah.
Right? So, I'm rooting for you, Paul George. Kind of.
I think they win by no more than 5 points.
No more than 5 points?
Yeah, the win that they do get.
Talking about Friday?
Game they play in L.A.
Yeah, especially Friday. Okay, all right, we'll see. No more than 5 points, all right? Hawks and 76ers. This has been a very interesting series. Excuse me, Atlanta Hawks versus the Philadelphia 76ers. Let me put respect on both of these cities, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, game four, 76 had complete control, looking like they were going to take a 3-1 lead. The Hawks make big runs, and they come back, and they win the game. Now, Embiid's been dealing with an injury. Am I right? Is it
torn meniscus? I think
somewhere in the meniscus, apparently. And he was doing good in the first half, And I saw somebody put up a picture, and they said this is when B turned into the second half, and it was Andre Bynum in a 76ers jersey. He went 0-for-12 in the second half. He also had a chance to redeem himself and make the game-winning shot on a layup, pick and roll, and just missed it.
Yeah.
Just simply missed it. So, I'll be honest. I thought the 76ers, I still think the 76ers are going to win, but I don't know. What's your take? I got some stuff to say, but you go first.
I think, you know, as far as Joel Embiid, you know what I'm saying? One thing about him with these injuries still like that, I give him leeway because I know he is playing with an actual injury, you know what I'm saying? Something that I think might take surgery to repair.
Yeah.
So I give him a little leeway on that, you know what I'm saying? Because he was balling out before. But only thing about that is, see, he's a big man. He's not going to get healthier as his career goes on. No. So they'll have to make, you know, assess what decision they want to make with that in the offseason. But I put this more so on Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons, I think, had 11 points and didn't even shoot in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It's almost as if he just doesn't care. You know, he signed a max contract his last time around. I'm trying to figure out why. He probably shouldn't, you know.
Ben Simmons had 6 points in the last game.
Only six?
Just six. He shot 2-for-3 from the field. He had 5 assists and 3 rebounds.
It must be the game before.
Yeah, the game before he had 11. Okay. Yeah.
He only had 6 points.
6 points, yes. He's right at there. 6 points. June 16th. Was it June 16th today?
June 16th today.
No, that can't be right. Hold on.
Oh, that might be.
I mean, well, they're playing right now. Okay, I'm sorry. It's been okay. I'm
right. We're live.
We're sorry. My fault, Ben.
But yeah, I'm going to talk about the previous game. Yeah, 11
it's
points.
It's still 11 points. Go ahead.
Yeah, but still 11 points. You can't be a star of a team like that and only score 11. I know he's a distributor, but my goodness, you can do more than distribute. You know, I know he can rebound well, but good gracious, like, you know, you're not even going to try to score? Like, how do you think you win the game?
Yeah.
You know, I guess his thing is, how many assists do he have?
14. He had 9 assists, 12 rebounds.
I'm still not going to give him no leeway room because even with the 9 assists, you only had 11 points. You got to do better than that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You got to give your team what it needs. If you know your supporting cast star is injured, he can't do what he normally can do. Mm-hmm. Well, now you got to step up your score. I know that's not usually what you're about, but in this particular game, in order to, you know, succeed, you have to do things you don't normally do, which in this case, you need to score a little bit more because, you know, your boy down right now. He out there hopping on one leg still trying to do what he do. And you just standing in the corner somewhere watching. So, Ben Simmons needs to step, but I don't know if he just doesn't care about basketball or he don't care about the Sixers. You know, I think it might be have to do with I think he wants to be in L.A. Yeah, I heard a little something about that. But the thing about that is, you know, you can't just be like, oh, okay, well, just put him on the legs of the Clippers. Okay, just because he's there, it might get worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because LA has so many distractions,
right.
You know. And, you know, many people don't know this. Even when Kobe, I believe, and he was playing for the Lakers, he didn't live in Los Angeles. I think he lived
outside of it, like
20 minutes outside of Los Angeles. Like he didn't live within LA, so it's too many distractions. So it might get worse if he gets over there, but he's got to step it up. I mean, if you want to, you know, move on to the next round, because obviously it's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
You know, don't look at the Hawks and say, oh, this will be easy. No, it won't. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have to actually play. You can't coast through this.
Exactly. And I think the sad thing also about the other night is that he only took 10 shots. You know what I mean? He really, in a game like that, he's taking 10 shots. And, you know what Embiid is dealing with. You know, and I think I give Embiid credit. Because I remember it had to have been, was it a year or so ago? We kept questioning his heart. Did Embiid really want to play? He'd be eating burgers before the game and watching Naruto and stuff. And I think he's really showed.
Like Naruto.
You know, okay. I think he's really shown he's serious about it. That's Ben Simmons we're questioning.
Mm.
You know, I think he's just, honestly, I think he's just one of those guys who can play basketball. And just, you know, once the game's over, all right. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's making all this noise. This past offseason, he's shooting. Oh, my God. And, like, he's still not showing any progress there. Matter of fact, you're taking less shots than you did before. And another issue, you can't shoot free throws neither. They did hack up Simmons in the first round series against the Wizards. And it's pathetic.
General,
It's pathetic. And you see Embiid and Seth Curry, who's really came to his own. My God, Seth Curry is amazing. Have you seen him?
Yeah,
you know, he's not Steph anything, but my guy, he's a credible shooter. And he actually took the last shot the other night for the 76ers. And that's another issue. Simmons can't take the last shot. Embiid can, but Embiid is banged up. You know, you got all these people laying down the line. Doc Rivers coaching his team like no other. He's done an amazing job with them. And like I said, the outlier is Simmons. Man can do every other thing on the court. He can do everything. He can assist. His defense is pinpoint. His rebound. He can do everything else, but he refuses to learn how to shoot the basketball.
Yeah. Or at least take shots.
At least take the shot. At least take the shot. I shouldn't be a guard slash forward, right? Anywhere from point guard to small forward. And a center is playing me at the free throw line. Now, that's disrespectful, isn't it? It's disrespectful. And he doesn't care. But if that's the case, because he's not going to start taking shots this series. I'm trying to figure out why hadn't he been shooting the ball 20 times last game. Well, I mean, not shooting, driving the ball to the hole 20 times or so.
Yeah.
Just 10 shots is not enough. Oh, and B, you 0 for 12 the second half, you're not feeling good? Let me handle this real quick. Let me stop this run. Let me go back to Philly up 3-1.
My thing is, if I'm Doc, I'm gonna change his position. He's going to go from the point forward or point guard, whichever he's listed at, and I'm gonna put him at the power forward, and that's what he gonna do. Don't bring the ball to the court no more unless we just absolutely need to. You know, we're gonna place an extra point guard in there, and we're gonna run pick and roll with your big behind setting the fix.
There you go.
So and you want to have something to say? Well, you don't take shots, so why you want to be out there on the wing anyway? So.
Like you got other guys,
you can lay it up, dunk, whatever you want to do.
That's what I'm saying. Y'all already there. You got other guys sitting here on the other team running to defend like 2-on-1 on somebody else. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because you can't. It's just a thing to me. And Hawks, we ain't said nothing about the Hawks. You say anything about the Hawks, but I guess just keep doing what you're doing, right? Just keep shooting. You know what I mean? Like I said, I expected the Sixers to come in and take over the series, but when Embiid being injured, I don't really trust Simmons. Trae Young, just keep doing what you're doing. Had like 15 assists the other night. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Keep, you know, be effective. John Collins and those guys, they're playing amazing. Capella, just keep doing what you guys do.
Trae work out that well for two teams like that. Because, you know, he was originally supposed to be in Dallas.
I know.
They traded for him.
Yeah, and they both end up benefiting.
Yeah, both benefit. So.
That's pretty amazing, though. Did it pan out?
The only thing I had a question about Trae Young or Ice Trae was that, not that if he could play it now, was his size. Because, I mean, he looks so small.
Yeah,
obviously that don't mean nothing. So,
and, man, has he proved a lot of people wrong. But y'all just, I guess to answer the question, I guess I'm going to say the Sixers until I don't see Embiid on the court. We're going to win this series. I guess I'm going to still say the Sixers. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Hawks come back and get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
They actually might be a better series if the Hawks were to play. Well, I'm going to say if the Nets were to pull it out.
Yeah.
It would be a better series.
Yeah, it would be, actually.
Yeah.
Matchup-wise and things like that.
Because you know what you're going to get from Trae Young.
Uh-huh.
And
you
also know what you're going to get from Ben Simmons, too. You know, single-digit points. So.
Nine assists. All right. Man, now on to some disappointing news here. Talking about Chris Paul. Got the news this morning. Out indefinitely for the Western Conference Finals. Now, I'm hearing, because of COVID protocol. Now, after game 4 in Denver, now, he did go hug his mother, his dad, and his brother in the stands. So, it was free fall there. So, maybe there could have been something, I'm not sure. But I am hearing that he's gotten vaccinated. And I remember Jalen Rose saying he could possibly only miss just one game.
Yeah.
But there is no Chris Paul. How does the Western Conference Finals go with you all, Will, with the Suns against the Jazz or the Clippers, I guess? Like, how does it affect it? Like,
It affects it because the Suns wouldn't have their leader. You know what I'm saying? They right now have a really – I don't want to say perfect because they're nothing perfect, but they almost have the perfect formula, as in they got the leader, Chris Paul. They got the assassin, you know what I'm saying, and Devin Booker, who's – you know, Kobe-esque, or you Jordan fans, who's Jordan-esque, you know, all the different kind of shooting and stuff he does and whatnot. And
and the Jordan and the shooting and whatnot as well. Yeah,
and the Jordan, and you also have you got the big down low who's very versatile and can do multiple things. And DeAndre Ayton, the supporting cast with
Cameron
Jay
Payne,
Crowder, you know, Cameron Payne, Bridges, Johnson. You know, you got a lot of ballers in there. You know, so you basically essentially have, you know, almost the perfect squad, which you would want to have. You know, you got pieces on all three levels. So, on three levels, not all three, because it's five levels. But doing all that, not having your leader. Because, you know, the thing about when Chris is out there, it's almost as if, you know, it almost gives you the same feeling as in, you know, in football when Peyton Manning's on the field. Mm-hmm. If you're a Colts fan, because you're like, everything good.
Right.
He out there. If there's a problem, he gonna see it and he gonna fix it. Right. You know, so you're not worried about nothing, you know. But when he's not out there, and plus he also makes it everybody else's life much easier. Devin Booker, you know, the other supporting cast, DeAndre Ayton, whatnot. So not having him out there, that's going to be so much easier on the opposing defense, mm-hmm. because you don't have to worry about that leader orchestrating, you know what I'm saying, the symphony, you know.
Yeah.
So
that's a good
thing. It'll affect it big, you know. But hopefully, since the Utah and Clippers series isn't over yet, hopefully that series goes 7 games. So that way, maybe some of this protocol stuff will be out of the way. And like Jalen Rose said, maybe he'll only just miss just one game, if not any. So
especially if he ain't
got no symptoms of COVID or anything. So
I hope so. I hope it definitely goes that way, because, you know, a lot of people rooting for Chris Paul, and it looked like when Harden got hurt and Kyrie got hurt, that it was going to be his time. You know what I mean? Yeah. I said if not the Nets, then I got the Suns. Winning it all or whatnot, but let's hope it goes that way. But I think if it doesn't, I think we talk about Devin Booker being Kobe is what a perfect time. Be Kobe is even, you know, I think we both said Utah would win the series, right? And that would be a time to be Kobe is. Even he would have to go do it in V-Vent Arena against Utah at their place, you know what I mean? But that's what Kobe would do. Kobe would go to the Garden, you know, TD Garden with the Celtics, hit a dagger shot and tell the crowd to be quiet, and, you know, and that's with Black Mamba. And I definitely think Devin Booker is built for this moment. You know what I mean? Yeah. You look at Kobe's point guard, which is Derek Fisher, you know, Chris Paul is back from Derek Fisher. But I think it's time, if he has to do that, it's lights out, because we've seen him do it. We've seen him put up 70 before.
Yeah.
And I truly think he is unstoppable. I do. But it's going to take him doing what he has to do, as well as his other teammates come in and play as well. I think this is when we talk about these young players like him, Luka, Tatum, taking that next step, right? I think Tatum took another step this year, although they got eliminated in the first round. I think Donovan Mitchell taking another step. And I think you look at now.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of
changing of the guard, so to speak.
Yeah, I guess you say passing of the torch as far as who's going to be, you know, the faces we'll see in the league for the next 10-plus years.
Yeah.
You know, we got Chris Paul, who's getting older. LeBron's getting older.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Melo is getting older. Durant, he ain't just old, but he ain't young either. You know what I'm saying? He still got a while, though.
Yeah.
You know, so with those ones, James Harden, you know, he getting up there, too, you know. So, Westbrook, you know. So, you know, we're getting – I mean, it's good to see – you know, these guys, you know, in, you know, Devin Booker, you know, Donovan Mitchell. It's good to see them in the playoffs so we can get used to seeing their faces every year.
Yeah.
You know, so that way, once these guys retire, it ain't like, oh, well, the league just fell off.
Yeah. You don't want to see that. You always want somebody to keep it going. But like I said, man, I think it'd be a time for Devin Booker to really take over. Like, I tell you, when he gets the ball and he's hot and he's going for it, nobody can touch him. And if he brings that, with Chris Paul being out, I think these Suns still have a chance in this Western Conference Finals until they can get Paul back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think he's
good gonna... thing about it is he's not injured.
Yeah, he's not hurting. That's the good thing. But I don't think Devin Booker's going to look at it as if I could just hold it down, he'd get back. Because Kobe wouldn't look at it, well, I'll hold it down and Paul get back. He'd say, hell no, I got it. Don't worry about it. If you don't come, I'm going to play as if you're not coming back. So I think Devin Booker's going to channel that. And this should be amazing, man, honestly. I can't wait for Chris to get back in there, because I know he's going to get back there in time. And we'll see what happens, whoever they go against. You know what I mean? But I'm excited to see his Suns team make it this far and make it to the Western Conference Finals. Now, changing things over with a little bit of football. And you all remember Le'Veon Bell. DJ, you remember Le'Veon Bell?
I do.
He used to play for the Steelers. Yep. Pretty amazing running back.
They got some type of voodoo or something going over in Steeler Town where if you leave them, you know, you not only do you get bad, you know, but you go to the bottom of the league. You go to the bottom of it. That's why Juju stayed. He was afraid of that voodoo that the Steelers be putting on. I don't know if they get you when you walk when you walk out the door your last time or something, but Le'Veon,
something happened.
He got it. He went through it, and AB went through it.
AB, definitely. You talk about the three Bs.
Yeah.
That's for Roethlisberger. He ain't never going nowhere. He knew. But right now, Le'Veon's in the news, so other than just playing on the field and no, it's not marijuana this time. Suspension, all that stuff that he's had to deal before and whatnot outside with the crimes and stuff like that. It's none of that. He made the statement the other day on social media, you know, because he played for the last team he played for was the Kansas City Chiefs, and he said that he would retire before he goes back and play for Andy Reid. Mm-hmm. Which is the thing. Andy Reid is very well liked around the league.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people are saying he just pretty much ended his own career. Because if you talking bad about Andy, then nobody else wants you.
Yeah.
That's how much respect this guy has around the league. Tyrann Mathieu came out and said something as well. Not talking about Andy Reid, was talking about, you know, Le'Veon Bell, talking about these guys do something like mess up their own career, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you know you come at Andy and you got his players taking shots at you messed up. And then he came back and said, Le'Veon, I apologize for what I said, but I don't regret what I said. I meant what I said, and you can hate me, you can like. It's really getting bad. Somebody just, Le'Veon, just turn off Twitter. Just turn it off. It's getting out of hand. So, is he talking his way out of the league now?
Pretty much. I mean, my first thing is, what on earth did Andy Reid do to me? I guess, I know he didn't get that many snaps.
He said somebody, he know what he said to him or something. I don't know.
I don't know. I wasn't there. I ain't going to say Andy Reid didn't say something to him. I ain't going to say he did either because I wasn't there. But with him, you know, making those comments, you know what I'm saying, and not, you know, saying, you know, what happened or backing up the sources or anything like that, it does look bad.
Yeah.
You know, especially when he's nowhere near where he used to be.
At all.
You know, so it's real easy for a team to say, we can do without. You know, he might have saved enough money. He might say, I don't need to play football ever again. Well, that's fine too, you know, but
He said that before, actually.
Yeah. So, I mean, he might be one of these guys who just played football just because he was good enough. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily because he loves the game or anything like that. And that's fine, too. But, if he does play his way out of the league, you know, he's pretty much sailing that way. You know, unless you have a team who's just, I guess you could say, either looking to get some fans in the seats, or, you know, looking to, you know, just add a running back to the roster for depth, who's pushing for a Super Bowl and looking to add just one piece for some depth or whatever. So,
You said it. Honestly, I mean, you look at Le'Veon Bell back in 2013 through 2017. Excuse me, guys, my nose is a little stopped up. I mean, 1,000 yard back, 9 touchdowns in 2017, 2016, he had 7 touchdowns. Like, he's been amazing. I remember, I wasn't even playing fantasy like that then. And he was like the number one fantasy guy to go to because he would catch it out the backfield and he would run, you know. All he could do was so amazing. Then he wanted to hold out with the Steelers. He didn't like the deal that they gave him.
Mm.
Okay, right. I had no respect for him. Give this man. Then they gave him another offer. He didn't like it either. I don't know what the numbers were. Didn't pick him at all. Didn't go with the Steelers at all, right? And I understood. So I'm thinking, you know, signs with the Jets. Doesn't get exactly what he wants, but he gets close to it, right? And I'm thinking, how many running backs? He took an entire year off. He's going to come back fresh. I'm thinking, this is going to be better than the last Le'Veon. And that didn't go well. He had 245 attempts that year for 789 yards. 3.2 yards per carry. That's a career low for him. And 3 touchdowns, right? This is after an entire year off.
Yeah.
Right? And he, you know, he came back with some injuries and things like that. The following year with the Jets, because this is the year he got injured, right? Mm. 19 attempts, 74 yards, so we won't hold that against him. However, you got the Chiefs who were willing to give him a chance. the Super Bowl contending Chiefs. Yep. So you think, oh man, it's just this is cheating. This is cheating. Mahomes, Kelsey, Hill, Clyde Edwards-Helaire that just drafted from LSU. They got the Honey Badgers, Tyron Matthews on the other side. You know, they got and they get Le'Veon. This ain't right. But it wasn't cheating. It wasn't cheating at all. No, not whatsoever.
I forgot he was on the team for a while.
Completely forgot as well. I don't think he even took one snap in the Super Bowl. And every time he took a snap during the season, he came right back out. But his stats there were 63 attempts, which is very shocking. I didn't see him get the bottom of the time. 254 yards and 2 touchdowns. That Andy said, I don't need that. You know what I mean? Like, you go through all this trouble.
I was out here. I can do that.
I don't got Andy Reid can still go out there and do that. I think, you know, he probably was thinking, I'm trying to make this team better. And that's not, you know. Because he came in to give the team a boost.
Yeah.
Because Clyde Edwards-Helaire had a lot of hype. And he did his thing in the first couple weeks. And he kind of fell off, I'd say. And I know what Andy was saying. Well, we got to get a boost out of this backfield so we're not just one-dimensional passing. Oh, Le'Veon's out there? I'm sure he still got something to prove. You know what I'm saying? He didn't have nothing to prove. You know?
Use it up in, that's what I'm saying, Philly, in Pittsburgh.
Hey, if he wants to come. Like I told you earlier, we're good in the backfield in Philly, but we'd always take an extra man. Mm-hmm. And for the veterans minimum, we'll give him the money. And you can try to do what Cam Newton do and improve yourself again if you want to. We're all for that. But he's definitely talking his way out of here right now. Le'Veon, I know you're not listening. But man, listen, I think there's still some decent football players left in you. I really do.
Yeah.
I don't think it's who you used to be. You're not a top five back anymore. Mm-hmm. Yet that time came and went. And that's why running back is so frisky, right? With the 2 to 3 year span, you being on top. Look at Zeke. He came in, first 2 years, he was hot. Third year, I think it was a suspension. I could be wrong. Not sure. Then he got the contract. And it all went downhill. And now he's on the brink of doing what Le'Veon's doing as well. Everybody's trying to see what he's going to do this year.
Yeah. I mean, if he wanted to, he can come on down to Nashville. We give him a tryout or something, you know what I'm saying? We definitely can.
Do not go there.
Use that piece in the backfield, you know what I'm saying? You know, it had an extra weapon as far as in the passing game.
I had Deion Lewis. Don't y'all still got Deion Lewis?
Nah, Deion Lewis left, I think, about 2 years.
There's no point, because Le'Veon's going to get there. He's got to realize that he's not a number one guy like that anymore. He needs to come in and out. Is what he needs to do. He's not going to be relied upon as the main guy anymore. That's through.
Mm.
You know, and playing behind Derrick Henry, who I'm sure wants to take all the snaps he can, being that y'all got Julio now. I'm sure that's going to be a lot of fun. He ain't trying to get nothing to Le'Veon, because I'm going to try to get nothing to Le'Veon. I'm trying to be on the field as much as possible if I got A.J. Brown over here and I got Julio over here.
I mean, you got to come out at some point. And then we all know that Derrick Henry ain't, you know, he's not that great in the passing game. He can catch the ball out of the backfield, but you know what I'm saying? We know Le'Veon can catch the ball out of the backfield. Nothing else.
How much would you pay him?
Talking about Le'Veon?
Yeah. Veterans minimum?
How much is the veterans minimum?
That was like $5 million.
Oh, that's too much.
Was it $2 million? What is the left?
I was gonna say he can play for $1 million in incentives.
Oh my God, no.
And incentives, you know what I'm saying? $1 million with incentives can bump you up to about 2.5.
$610,000. Oh, that can't be right. All right, I'm sorry, Le'Veon. I'll pay you a little more than that.
Okay, $2 million with incentives that can get you up to up to $3 million. That's what I go with. You know what I'm saying? That's not bad.
I think he's still playing this
certain number of touchdowns, you know what I'm saying? We can get you up there to $3 million.
I think he's definitely still playing this league. That's definitely can happen. Le'Veon, you got to realize your position at this time, and you're not the same guy. But look, DJ just said he will accept you, but you're not going to be his guy. Derrick Henry is his guy. Accept it and go to work. Go catch some passes at the backfield. Over here with the Philadelphia Eagles, we rebuild Corey Clement. He's our guy. Accept it. You know, Miles Sanders, he's our guy. Let it go. Move on. You know what I mean? What it is. But you can still be on the roster.
Yeah.
You're just not the guy. That
pass. I thought that was understood in Kansas City, but
I guess not. It may have been an Adrian Peterson situation. Remember, he got mad at Sean Payton. Now, we all knew he wasn't getting the ball, and but it was him who didn't know. But anyway, moving on to our last topic of the day, the Las Vegas Raiders and Derek Carr making headlines, baby. Oh, yeah, you guys know Derek Carr, you know. Who was his big brother again? He played in the I forget his first name every single time. I don't know. He played for the
David Carr.
David Carr. That's what it was. Oh, he got toe up playing for Texas. He got toe up. They just didn't do it. The line wasn't protecting. Anyway, Derek Carr's making headlines for some words he had in the press conference not too long ago. I had to pull it up right here. Something he said. Oh, Derek Carr made the statement the other day. This is what he said in his press conference when asked about the Raiders. He said, and I quote, "I'd probably quit football if I had to play for somebody else." Following mandatory minicamp practice the other day, his first public comments.
Yeah.
So, which leads me to say this. I got a lot to say on this before we end it. Are you buying that Derek Carr is the Raiders' long-term quarterback?
First of all, why every time Derek Carr got to be brought up in news, something negative? You know what I'm saying? But anyway, no, I don't think he's the long-term quarterback. It's been too many questions. First of all, you know, when John Gruden came in, you know, it was that ridiculous contract.
Right? Man.
You know, in my opinion, they gave him that contract because they're expecting him to come change the entire culture.
Right.
So Derek Carr was already there when he got there. So at that point, he really didn't have any other better options. So I feel like he just, you know, kind of rolled out. And the thing about it is when you're picking a quarterback, you got to go with somebody that
fits you.
Yeah, that fits you, that you, you know what I'm saying, that you 100% believe in. Not just, well, okay, well, he the best available. Okay, we'll get him. Yeah. That's not good enough. So I don't think John Gruden has found that guy yet. Or well, he did go. Find that guy.
Now you're talking.
Somebody else already had took him. He wasn't in a position where he could get him. Yeah. So I think Derek Carr is just kind of the quarterback by default now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He can say that comment if he want to. But Derek Carr is not a quarterback to where it's like, you know, we're going to hold on to his leg if he try to walk out the door.
Okay? Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, I don't mean to talk about, I know he's my guy, but like Ryan Tannehill said, uh-huh, I quit football today. So, okay. Yeah. You know, don't let him get you on the way out. I mean, yeah, he's good, but he's not one of the elite. You know what I'm saying? He's not a Kyler Murray. He's not an Aaron Rodgers. You know what I'm saying? He's not a Russell Wilson, Tom Brady. He's not none of those guys.
Right.
You know, you're going to hold their foot. They try to walk out. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
You know, because, you know, if they leave, the whole franchise falls to pieces. So, I mean, yeah, I think, I don't think he's their long-term. I think he's the placeholder until they find a long-term guy. So.
Okay. This is why people talk about tanking. Okay, because Gruden has this huge contract, 10 years, 100, was it 100 mil or something like that?
It's 100 mil, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is about, when you think about it, stretched out, 10 million a year. So you now have a football term, you're looking at, it ain't that bad. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't really know how much coaches make.
I don't know. But if
you're looking at just in a player standpoint of view, 10 million, yeah, ain't that bad actually, because you got some players that make.
It just had a contract you looked at, though. You know, yeah, yeah.
But because it stretched out so long.
Right. This is why people talk about tank. Because, okay, Derek Carr is a quality quarterback in this league, right? And I always, what I do, I go look up guys' stats, and I give him credit, right? So he entered the league in 2014. He's thrown for over 3,000 yards each season, right? And at least in one season, he had 32 touchdowns. Right? Mm-hmm. That's the highest he's ever thrown. The rest, 27, 21, 22, 28. And, you know, like I said, he wins games. He got the team to the postseason once, but he was hurt. So he couldn't play in the first round game. It was against the Texans, and they lost. Right? I think he broke his leg or something like that. So he's got them there once. And he has a lot of heart, a lot of fight. And, man, he's the perfect guy for the Raiders. He is. But the Raiders ain't perfect for him.
Mm.
Man, listen, you got 2 years left in your contract. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And like you said, the big picture, John Gruden does not have his guy.
No.
Why do people think when coaches come in, they fire the entire staff and get the guys they want in there?
Yeah.
Because it's theirs now. They want who they want. Why do you think Urban Meyer, right, took the job with Jacksonville? Who? He wanted Trevor Lawrence, his guy. And Tebow, too, I guess, right? With the Baker Mayfield situation, I like Hugh Jackson.
Yeah.
I don't think he wanted Baker. I think he even said that he was looking at, who else was in Baker?
It was Sam Donner, baby. That was number two.
Number two. Like he was looking at him. He didn't even want Baker. Yeah. And you could tell. And that didn't fit. So what happened? Hugh Jackson got out of Dodge. He got out of there. Anthony Lynn with the Chargers. Kept trying to hold Herbert back. hey, you know, we're going to wait a couple games, let Tyrod play. The man had a punctured lung. He didn't want to open up the playbook for Herbert. They got rid of Anthony Lynn. These things do not gel. You have got to have your guy when you're trying to win. This man has 10 years to win a championship for the Raiders, and it won't get done with Derek Carr.
No.
But don't mess up your career, Derek Carr. Talking about, I'd probably quit if I had to play, you know, anywhere else. Well, nobody's knocking down your door neither.
Listen, you can make a good living as an NFL backup.
You can.
As Fitzmagic.
Man! He get to play sometimes.
Who else? They said it the other day. I don't know.
Chad Henning.
Well, no, it wasn't Chad Henning. It was Chase Daniels. Chase Daniels. What's his name? McGrown. I don't know. He was like 40.
Yeah.
He was back up. You can make good living as a backup. Matter of fact, it's probably the best place to be. You know what I'm saying?
But see, this is my thing. He's not the Raiders' long-term solution. No. And you can tell. Because I heard somebody say, when they went to Vegas, he got a house right beside Gruden and everything. Like, Gruden don't like him like that. Gruden is dealing with him. Because I looked it up. If they tried to get rid of him now, it would put them in the hole wise. You know, it would hurt them salary-wise. He ain't got but 2 years left on the contract. So there's this year and there's next year.
Mm.
And I'm thinking Gruden's probably saying, well, I just, you know, wait it on out. You know what I mean? I think I'll be fine. You don't got to make a big fuss about it right now. But it's so obvious that it's not there. Carr wants so bad for Gruden to choose him. And it's not it. But if you're Derek Carr, you need to be making a case for some other teams within these next 2 years.
Or either putting yourself in position to where you can at least, you know, look, you know, presentable for, you know,
a team.
Or... If you done got to the point where you say, you know what, okay, I'm not going to be an NFL starter probably after this, and you've got to the point where you accepted that, okay, but then your next thing is, okay, what kind of backup, you know what I'm saying, do I want to be? You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, because, you know, teams will keep you around if you bring a good energy, if you bring leadership, veteranship, you know, molding rookies or something like that. If he looks like, I mean, ask Udonis Haslam.
No, I need to.
He's been on the Heat forever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Only team he played for.
He's got that. He don't play not 1 minute.
No.
But he's got the culture. He's got leadership. You know what I'm saying? He's got veteranship. See, what kind of player do you want? You can still make money that way. You know, and if that's the move for you next, don't just say, well, I wouldn't play for anybody.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You kicking yourself out of a job. Still want to work, don't
you? That's what I'm saying. Like, you still got football to play after this, Derek. Don't sit up there and jeopardize your career, because they'll get rid of you in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If something comes out tomorrow that, you know, Derek Carr and kill somebody. Cut. He's gonna be, you know, and then stop saying, you know, man, Raider, that's not gonna help them resign. You got to put production on the field.
It don't even have to be nothing that extreme. It can be that Derek Carr was found, you know, littering somewhere through a ball on the ground. Cut.
They don't want that round. I mean, and you've been there what? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Like 7 years, one playoff appearance, and you didn't even play in that game.
Yeah. He's pretty much one. He is one. I guess you could say phrase away. What I mean by phrase is he's one phrase away from either Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers saying, I want to be a Raider.
That's it.
And his, you know.
And then bye-bye. That's all. It'll take nothing else. Like, man, hey, Derek, just be smarter with your words. Please. Because once contract time come around, they're going to pull up this, all right, let's see what you've done. And let me tell you, it's not going to look pretty. Right? You know, so... But yeah, man, last thoughts, we're going to come back around to these YouTubers versus TikTokers here this past weekend. With headlining was Austin McBroom from the Ace family and Bryce Hall, big-time TikToker. So I'm just going to run through. We're just going to talk about the McBroom and Bryce Hall fight. But the winners here, you had Ryan Johnson defeat Kyle Sarrett. I'm going to say his name wrong. Landon McBroom, part of the McBroom family, defeated Ben Alzart. Faze Jarvis defeated Michael Lee. DDG defeated Nate Wyatt. Vinny Hacker defeated Dej. Oh my God, I can't say his guy's name. Gia versus Taylor Holder. It was in a majority draw. I did not agree with that. And Austin McBroom defeated Bryce Hall in a TKO. Well, yeah, pretty much a TKO guy fell to the ground. I'd say overall, pretty good showing by all of them. You can tell they put in work. They're not legit fighters. Yeah. You know, they put it's entertainment as point, little entertainment aspect of things. So I give them credit for that. I don't think at least Austin should take another fight. I don't. And he said he's going to. But I think you should do that and then leave it alone. Because, you know, I don't know. He fought somebody who's on the same level, you know. Mm. But the more you go, the more attention you're going to draw. I'm like, yeah. You know what? Let me get a shot at you. You know what I'm saying? It's entertainment. I don't have no problem with it. But I think once you do that, Austin, you got a TKO, you smelling yourself right now. I just leave it alone.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind seeing it again. I feel like it's entertaining, you know. But my thing about it this time around, you know, to make it a little bit more interesting, you know what I'm saying, I will, you know, try to raise stakes a little bit, you know what I'm saying, if you want to. You can say, you know, I don't know, my YouTube check for your YouTube check, or, you know, play, I don't know, something. I'm just throwing something out there. I don't have to do that. But, you know, something to make it a little bit more serious this time, you know what I'm saying? I think, you know, although I know they, you know, train and everything like that. But, you know, I want you to put some on the line and see when real boxers.
There's $1 million on the line.
$1 million on the line?
Yeah, for like, yeah, it was charity. Like, if he won, he had to give his charity $1 million. If not, he'd get it. That's what Austin and Bryson
Hall. Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I'm all for the charity, yes. But, you know, at the end of the day, they probably still going to give them, whoever lost, their charity still going to get something.
Yeah, yeah.
It won't go hand in hand. I want something to where, you know what I'm saying, you're going to lose some sleep over.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying, this fight. You know what I'm saying? You're going to put in some 2-a-days. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Something drastic that's going to make you actually, you know, put in that extra mile.
So,
because, you know, when real boxers, when they're out there, the actual professionals, they plan to eat. I mean, yeah. They fighting to eat.
Right.
These people is just fighting for entertainment, which that's is fine. It looks good, but I want to see you know, go an extra mile.
There you go. YouTubers, TikTokers, I mean, if y'all running back again, like, put it all out there in the line with DJ want to see, man, and make it something to see. I mean, it's just Jake Paul versus Austin McBroom. Who you got? Who did you pick right now?
It's been a while since I seen Jake Paul fight. And then he fought Nate Robinson. I mean, he done had some other fights.
Yeah. He fought it.
I guess, just off the top of my head, I guess I'm going to go with Jake Paul.
Yeah.
You know, because from what I seen to the fight that he did, I saw that he was... He was very aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, and that's fine. You know, but... You know, Jake is bigger.
Yeah.
And so when he swings back, you know what I'm saying, those punches land, it's gonna hurt more than that other dude.
Exactly.
So
now I'm glad you said that, because Austin didn't really get hit by this guy Bryson. Because once he hit him once, he was, you know, he was just kinda stunned. He had a guard, but he didn't have a guard. It was so weird. Like in Austin's block, he was just kinda like, you know, barely using, but he goes up against Jake. I think he definitely have to use it. So I mean, that may be after Jake faces Tyrone Woodley. I mean, that may be next, but, you know, hey, let's see what happens. But any last words, DJ, you know?
Wonderful show. You know what I'm saying? Just keep them, roll them out. Keep rolling them out.
Definitely, guys, man. I hope y'all have a great week. Like I said, this will be out tomorrow for you guys. Have a great week, man. Keep doing what you're doing, man. Keep pushing out there. Keep striving as well. Also, Kid Zach podcast episodes are now on iTunes for all of you.
I don't have Spotify.
It's on iTunes. So go get it. Listen to it in your car, on the way to work, whatever you do. Go make sure you do that. Thank you all for tuning in once again. You all have a great day. Be blessed.